God's grace is a promise. It's certain. We know that He fulfills what He states. Sometimes we don't walk in that. Sometimes we don't operate in life that way because we question ourselves. But God's greater than that. God's greater than us, what we're capable of, what we're able to do. God is able. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, help us to hear from You. Help us to understand Your heart just a little bit more this morning. To recognize and realize how much You love us. And that You would do anything for us. We submit to You, our Lord, our God, our Father. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
So I'm starting a series on grace. But I wanted to introduce you guys to a guy that we know has said a great deal about grace. But I wanted you to get to know him before the fact. Before he had realized God's grace. Before he had been knocked on his butt, which sometimes we need. Sometimes we need to be knocked on our backsides to recognize that God has a greater plan. We need to hear from God specifically. As I began to walk the path of Christianity, this life, this love with Christ, we started in a, Mary and I started, and some other family members started, in a more interesting situation. We started probably more actively walking towards Christ in a Seventh-day Adventist church. Some of you are smiling. Not all of you are probably familiar, but the Seventh-day Adventist church is very adamant about the law, about a legalistic perspective on how to accomplish this walk with Christ. All of you here this morning have already failed in the fact that you weren't in church yesterday. Many of you have failed in the earrings and the jewelry and the tattoos that you're wearing. Many of you have failed in many ways when it comes to that particular group of individuals. Through my wife, God, in essence, knocked me on my backside. I was walking ready. I was serving at the pastor's side. I was, in a micro sort of way, I was like the Apostle Paul, wanting to do all that God had fulfill every law, every aspect, every piece, every fiber. I wanted to fit what they were proclaiming was right. And we had gotten to a point where we were ready to become fully baptized in members of this church. Not this church, but the group of folks in the Seventh-day Adventist. And they came to us. They couldn't have come to us on a Saturday because you weren't allowed to do anything short of going to service. But they came to us most likely on a Friday before sundown, perhaps Thursday, just to be safe, with a few pages of don'ts. I'd like to say it was a few pages of do's and don'ts, but I would disagree. It was a few pages, quite a few pages, of don'ts. My wife and I reviewed those. I'm ready to go. Tell me I can't go to the movies, I don't care. Tell me I can't play cards, I don't care. Tell me I can't wear jewelry and this and that. I don't care, man. I want to serve God. And she said, this isn't it. This isn't it. This isn't right. This doesn't work. And we went to a festival that evening presented by Calvary Church out in Naperville, which at the time was Calvary Temple, called Jesus Midwest in Sandwich. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was really awesome. And we got to hear a number of speakers, bands, etc. But James Robison spoke on grace. And it wrecked me. It wrecked me in a good way. It was like the scales had fallen from my eyes. I got it. So when the church comes after me with the don'ts, don't be surprised at my kickback. Don't be surprised at what I present to you, because I'm not a fan of don'ts. I'm a fan of God's grace. The best evidence for Paul's claim to have received his gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ is his conversion. The dramatic change in his life demands some explanation. How could such a fanatical opponent of the followers of Christ, become such a devoted preacher of the gospel of Christ? Paul explains that the cause of such a radical change was God's gracious revelation of His Son to him. Paul's running around killing Christians. Paul is certain of everything he believes in. Are you? Paul is certain that there are things you don't do, things you must take part in. Paul was certain till God's gracious revelation of His Son to him. To appreciate the impact of God's intervention in Paul's life, we need to look closely at the pictures Paul gives of himself, his conversion and how it took place. Paul wasn't looking for this. Paul was looking to kill. Paul was certain that he was doing what God expected him to do. We get so certain that we don't listen. We don't pay attention to that still small voice. That voice that is telling us, I've done this. I've taken care of it. Settle down. Let me read you an excerpt from Wayne Blank regarding the Pharisees, which Paul proclaimed to be one, didn't he? Isn't he the Pharisee of Pharisees? The name Pharisee in its Hebrew form means separatists or the separated ones. How many times have you heard, church, separate yourself? Separate yourself. Be careful. They were also known as chassidim, which means loyal to God or loved of God. Extremely ironic in view of the fact that by his time, they made themselves the most bitter and deadly opponents of Jesus Christ and his message. Listen, church. Would we recognize him? Would we recognize him if he came? Would we recognize Jesus Christ? The Pharisees perhaps meant to obey God, but eventually they became so devoted and extremist in very limited parts of the law, plus all that they themselves had added to it, that they became blind to the Messiah when he was in their very midst. They saw his miracles, they heard his words, but instead of receiving it with joy, they did all that they could to stop him. Eventually, to the point of getting him killed, because he truthfully claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ had strong words about the Pharisees and what awaits some of them. Matthew 5:20 states, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Anyone meeting that goal? I asked Gary the other night when we were at practice. I'll ask you guys. How many laws? How many laws are there? Dano, don't answer. Thank you, George. There's certain people that I know. George is not a surprise to me. I knew that he would know. 613 laws. If you don't count other ways to bring this piece and that piece in, and if this counts, and if... How we doing? How you guys doing? It's only 613. It's not that many. George, you're not doing so good. Me either. What are you doing? Does that include the 10? Stephen asks, does that include the 10? Yes, it does. So I'll give you this. Let's just set aside the 603. Stephen, how you doing on the 10? You're still here. Why? So, Phil, I had a number of slides, but we're going to keep rolling. But there are so many representations of how the Pharisees did what they did and how they controlled those they did it to. What Christ keeps coming back and saying to them is, boys, you're missing the heart. You're missing the heart. What do we say often here? What sums up the law? It was just on the wall last month. That might help you. It was in flames on this side and this side. Picture it. Close your eyes. Picture it. Love God. Love people. Nothing else matters. That's pretty amazing to think about. So we're not doing too well, even with the 10. Even with the 2. Even with the 2. So the Pharisee that was personally converted by Jesus Christ after his resurrection, who knew these laws like the back of his hand, who had it clear, awakened to grace. We live under a bondage, and we don't live in his grace. We don't connect with that. And I'm begging you, church, awaken yourselves to God's grace. Let's look at Galatians 1. Now we got a little bit of a perspective on Paul. There's so much more. Please dig in. But I'm going to do my best to make sure that you get to that roast on time. And as Randy said, amen. Galatians Galatians 1 starts, I, Paul, an apostle, who we just met, we've got an idea of, we understand his where he was and where he is. Sent, not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. So he's going to start addressing this. Because these guys are willing to start falling into expectations. You know, if you guys are not praying each and every morning, and if you're not in your scriptures at least 6 hours a day, because you have to surpass Dano. That's a joke. I am so blessed by your love for that love letter. And I know that's where it sits. That's a difference. That's a difference. But if you're not in this place on Sunday mornings, should I continue to list the things that you're missing? You failed. You missed it. Disagree. Grace causes us to be in love. To be in love. And these things are a result of the love that we have for the one who has finished it, who has completed it, and has given us the grace to realize it. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. That's intense. Paul was serious. Paul understood where he came from and where God has brought him. And he's crying out to the church in Galatia, wake up. I don't know how many of you guys cringe when I say the word circumcision, but I'm sure a few of you males will. It's about as far as I'll take it. Are you willing to take it that far?
Nope.
I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, you've heard of his previous way. You've heard of the advancing in Judaism. You've heard that God, who set him apart from his mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. See, what they were trying to do is draw these Gentiles who had no comprehension of Judaism, of all of the expectations, trying to draw them into that to convince them that then they would be okay. And Paul says, stop it. They're okay. God's grace is enough. We sing about it. We think about it. We talk about it. But often we don't live like it. And we'll try to draw people into those expectations. God's grace is enough. You're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, one of the first things I heard this morning, make sure you don't use that grace as a mat. If you're in love with the Savior, why would you? Why would you? It's a love relationship. It's a love relationship. Don't let them draw you into the expectation. Realize the gift you've been given and fall in love with the one who has given it. God's grace is enough. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you just saturate us with the realization of the fact that you have completed and finished and made certain our place, our love, the realization of being called your sons and daughters. And to live that way so infectiously that it impacts everyone around us. And they realize how awesome you are and are drawn to that love, that grace. May you be lifted up as you deserve. May you be loved beyond our comprehension. We set this day, this time, all of us into your hands. And all God's people said, Amen.